I'm Sean.
And I'm Charlie.
And this is Higher Orbit.
Hi, everyone. I'm Cyrus.
Yeah, that's great. It was the cue.
We got a big guest. We're going to give you a nice intro, Cyrus.
Season finale.
It's the season finale, straight off a plane from BC and from Scarborough with love, our boy and vice president of operations, CEO of the Loud Plug, Canadian Clinical Cannabinoids.
Okay, yes, I have a lot of titles, though. I do a lot of different things, so I agree with you.
Yeah.
There's a few of them we got to put in there.
Yeah, I'm sure I missed a couple. Yeah. You grind, buddy, and honestly, it's so nice to have, like, a success story on the show because we feel like sometimes in our industry, it's like, it's hard swimming out there, you know?
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean?
Still working on it, though.
I think it's a testament to, like, your hard work and your dedication and just your passion, man, for this stuff. I can tell.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming. We're definitely excited to have you on the show. It's a great and about time. I mean, we were just saying how we had Ree probably about a year ago. So grab a sheesh and kick back, guys. We appreciate you listening. Definitely excited to kick it off with Cyrus.
Yeah. Thanks for a great season, everybody that's listening. And thanks for everybody supporting us out there. And let's have a phenomenal show.
Go grab yourself some
sheesh, or yeah, they just dropped the Tangerine Dream. I'll plug the Tangerine Dream with the live resin and fire up a Benny Blunto. I was saying the Banana Havana is my personal favorite, but I also like that mix pack. You know, you get the one of the each, Charlie.
Yeah, those are great. Those
are really awesome and such a great product. I've never asked this. Are you really involved in the product development? I mean, you say you wear a lot of hats. I'm assuming you are, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Ideas are your ideas, right?
No, for sure. Yeah, I'm pretty much involved in everything from, you know, the beginning to up to now. I'm still, you know, hands on a lot of different things. By the way, thanks for having me, you know, on this show, so we can kind of tell a little bit of our side of the story. Sometimes with cannabis companies, there's so many regs and things that we can't talk about or advertise. So any platform that we get like this, you know, that means a lot. So thank you for everything that you all do.
Thanks, man. No, we're super happy to have you. Again, you know, kind of coming out of Scarborough, it means a lot to us. We're kind of from the East End. Some would say Scarborough, to be honest. Some people even say, like, you're past the dawn, that's Scarborough, which is kind of jokes, but right. We're always happy to support
your local brands.
Yeah, exactly.
That are from Toronto, and that's what you definitely are. And yeah, sorry, Charlie, I'm going to steal the.
No, not at all. I would say, you know, from day one, we've always felt that you were really a part of, like, the community and what we thought we should be in this new format and legalization. And I'll give everyone a little $10,000 word I learned today. There's a lot of interlopers. Which is, ooh. I know, that's a nice one, eh?
That's good.
which, and by that, I just mean, like, a lot of people we feel like don't really belong. Like, we see a lot of corporate cannabis, a lot of weed, a lot of people who don't care about the culture, especially from the production side and a lot on the retail side. Mm-hmm. And we've just always felt like you stayed true to that. And that's why it resonated with us. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the first like real blunt, in my opinion, on the market, which is so huge because I feel like before the Benny Blunto, there was really nothing that like, I think, satisfied that person, if that makes sense, that segment of customer that really wanted, I don't know, something that's going to be as close tasting to a blunt as you could get in the legal market. They're great. I love Benny Bluntos. I'm just going to say that. The chocolate, it's like that chocolate flavor really nails it for me. It's like super smooth too. Doesn't like irritate my throat. And you guys were definitely, I think, the first to use the chamomile
tea leaf. Yeah. I mean, when we were working on it, we were, you know, just, about to release the Loud Plug and the brand. And, I had no idea what was about to happen. You know, we worked hard with Health Canada going back and forth because they never dealt with the chamomile tea leaf before. So, we knew that obviously it was going to be something new in the market. But we had no clue that, you know, very shortly after it was going to go viral on us and, you know, really take off. And having put everything I owned, me and my partner, Zach, into the business, obviously was some nervous times. And, you know, seeing what happened after was, you know, amazing to see.
Yeah. It's such like the Benny Blanco. I always think of like, who is Benny Blanco? You know, right. Is it like this person? I always
he's a man down from Scarborough.
Right. Yeah, like the Scarborough zigzag man. I was just high
one day smoking a joint and you know, Zach calls me. He's like, "Hey, what do you think we should call this?" And I think I was watching Carlito's Way.
Oh no, shit!
And Benny Blanco from the Bronx. And I'm like, Benny Blanco from the Bronx. Why don't you just make it simple? Call it Benny Blanco, so you know what it is the minute the name comes. And then,
great story.
Have a brown bag, and just everything told you is a blunt, and it's a little story behind that. But I was really high when I made that decision.
You know what? I'm going to say it. I think that's a better film than Scarface. Nothing wrong with Scarface, right? But yeah, I like
it. Take for you, right?
It's a good one.
That is a good one. I really like that one. Sean Penn, isn't he in that? Or is that
Al Pacino.
Sorry, yeah. I'm thinking of another Carlito's Way. I thought he's the lawyer, Sean Penn.
He might be. It might be his brother.
Yeah, he's the sketchy.
It might be his brother. It's Chris Penn.
I haven't seen it for a minute.
Chris Penn, yeah. Anyways, I'm going to watch it. It's a great story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
I'm really excited to dive into your story and, of course, talk about, you know, how you came to be. But I really wanted to touch on a couple topics just because there was a lot of spice that was going around in the industry this week, I would say. But data, you know, we heard about a big retailer kind of getting smoked by the regulator.
For those that don't know, Charlie, I guess this is a quick background. I feel like you kind of just, there was Cannabis Express is the name of the retailer.
Yeah.
And they got hit with a $200,000 regulatory fine, we'll say, right?
Yeah, sure.
Fine. I mean, I don't care. That's what happened, right?
I don't know if you care to talk about that. From my understanding, I don't think you play that game. If you do, whatever. but, you know, it just was certainly fascinating. Me and Sean kind of sat back and just were like,
Well, it's kind of interesting. Like, I wonder what's the difference between why are they going after him? Is it just because they can nail him to the wall? Like, I was like, really, Canna Cabana and Value Buds are like, they don't really hide it.
I think, you know, maybe certain players are very aggressive of approaching licensed producers.
Okay.
But, and you've got to remember, like, a lot of the licensed producers, you know, where they start. And when they bring out a brand, sure, we want distribution in all the stores, but we can't afford it. We're not, you know, big publicly traded, traded companies where we could afford hundreds of thousands of dollars. The minute you come out, by the time you get to the market, you're already in debt, right? So you're going to see a lot of brands like the Lao Plug. You know, we don't have certain distribution, and I don't want to name names, but at all in certain very big chains that were not there. And we'd love to obviously get their business. But overall, you know, I think, you know, it's a known fact that it goes on in the industry and there is no policing it, and nobody has really done anything up to now. I mean, there's no way you tell me that the AGCO does not know what's going on, you know, and whether it's now or whether even 3 years ago, I'm sure they knew what was happening 3 years ago.
That seems crazy to me too, because I, as a retailer and somebody that sells your products, I think that they're missing out, because I would call some of your products, I would say like a hero SKU or like a really a core assortment item that like people you come in specifically and ask me for some of your things.
Exotic gas, I'm not just saying that.
I've done creative things. So when, for example, in 2021, January 15th, when we first started, we started, you know, from co-packing, just making pre-rolls, even though in the legacy market, I was a grower. So that was give us a segue to bring some revenue in. So as you know, and we continued that co-packing kind of tradition to bring profits to our company in order to do what we can do. Like, what will we do today? For example, you know, with our co-packing, we have worked with companies like One Plant, right, where we procure their flower and you know, just kind of provide them with the pre-rolls, kind of white labeling service.
Right. Yeah.
That's the only thing that Lao Plug has done, you know, where we get, you know, obviously distribution through that. But other than that, we've never played in any kind of pay to play or anything like that. And I think because we grew so fast and so organically, I think that's the way I see our brand go. I mean, and we're not, you know, as I said, we're becoming one of the leading brands in Canada. Congrats, man. And we got here like without doing these pay to play. So
are you, so I know you were just on a plane from British Columbia. There was the, was there kind out there? Is that what you were there for?
Yeah, we were for a kind Vancouver.
How was that? Is that the first one that they did out there? Or?
It was the first one.
How was it?
It was amazing. I thought Josh and the kind team did an amazing job. You know, Vancouver is a very different kind of landscape as far as retail goes, right? So you don't have the big chains. You know, there's a limit to 8 stores, or now they're becoming 12.
Okay.
It was the first time us kind of going down there and just meeting a lot of mom and pop shops or people that own only a few stores.
Okay.
And being from Ontario, you know, obviously from Scarborough, going out there, it was just at a perfect time. Up to November of last year, people knew the Loud Plug as a blunt company per se, because we only had Guava Biscotti, Benny Bluntos.
Right.
And right after November, when we dropped our ounces, literally overnight, we became one of the top selling, cannabis companies in BC,
wow,
being from Scarborough. And I think one of the things me and you were earlier chatting about is we resonated very well with the BC, crowd and the consumers and the bartenders, and that tremendously helped. And that comes from being consistent, being able to, as a bartender or owner, to being able to trust the brand, knowing that every case you buy, hey, you're not just throwing away another $300-$400. So it was really nice to see for my team to, honestly, to go there and get so much love. I mean,
that's cool, man.
You know, me and Rihanna, a few other team members went up there, and I think we saw almost 1,400 bartenders, which was amazing to see. And it was great to see the brand from Scarborough. My early days, literally, I would have never pictured herself, you know, taking a team and put up a big stage. If you would have told me this 10 years ago, I would have said, what are you, crazy? What do you mean?
Yeah, thousands of kilometers.
We're
going to
be doing what? So exactly.
Away from Scarborough, people get Scarborough. So there you go. That's cool. Right. You guys are received so well. That's awesome.
And 10 years ago, you could do some serious jail time for this stuff. So.
I do want to hear a little bit more about your story, especially for our listeners who may not know you. You know, of course, from Scarborough. Or was it Vaughan originally too?
No, I live in Vaughan today.
You live in Vaughan today.
But yeah, my family came from Iran when I was 13 years old, and you know, we moved into Scarborough, Chester Lee, and my little brother and sister went to Chester Lee Elementary School, and I ended up going to Lamoureux, and so I lived there for a very long time, and I started growing, by the way, in Scarborough in 2010.
Oh,
at at the current location that we're currently in.
No way.
Under MMAR.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Nice show there going. And, just as the regulation changed, stayed at home, Scarborough, and, you know, kind of, maybe I'll get into another segment. A lot of people say, hey, who does the marketing, or what do you guys do exactly? We don't really do marketing. We just turn on the cameras and just show ourselves and the history behind it. And I think that it's nice to have that history, you know, just to be able to kind of 100%. Showcase what you've done, and people kind of see your experience and what you do. And I think really that's at our core.
Yeah. Well, but you nailed it on the head. You're a cannabis success story, and also first generation immigrant success story, which is also amazing too, you know. And what you've built at the Loud Plug is really special, man. So
yeah. Thank you.
The Loud Plug too, I've always like thought about it as like, yeah, if I recall, like as he did, like I remember that term he said, like, you know, like call who's your loudest plug, or like who's got the, you know. So it always kind of resonated with me and made sense to me, I guess, in a way. Yeah,
our facility used to be known for the best headband.
Really?
In the city. I don't see a lot of headbands now in the legal market.
I'd love to see a headband. You're right. That is a classic strain, definitely.
Right. So that we used to produce a ton of, quite a bit of that. And
so you were actually a farmer.
You were growing it?
Absolutely. Cultivator.
Yeah, I used to have a place in Welland, a greenhouse as well. We opened up another MMAR program in Vaughan. And then the last place we opened up, which I never thought much of it because of, I don't know why, but it was a little bit on the smaller scale, and it was Scarborough, and all the other places ended up, going down one way or another.
Scarborough always held strong. Is that why you have that deep connection to Scarborough?
That was one facility because of its size. I would have said, maybe it wouldn't have a good chance of converting to the legal side, because they were looking for all these big facilities, right? But that one stuck, and yeah, we're still there.
Crazy,
all
man.
These years later.
Crazy, dude. Did you think like all those years back when you were growing in those MMMR and like before legalization actually happened that, you know, did you see yourself in 2024, like where you are now, I guess? Like, it's
no,
pretty
I,
crazy.
I couldn't even dream of it because it wasn't even a thought.
Right.
Like just actually like, you know, cash registers and network and retailers, then provincial bodies and submissions. And it's not in my wildest dreams. Yeah.
Crazy, man. And
that's for sure.
No, it's just wild to think, man. What kind of got you into weed to begin with? Like, I guess there is some connection for sure in that part of the world where you're from, but why come to Canada and, you know, make a life for yourself here with your family and then...
Yeah, I just like weed since I was a teenager. I mean, I think it's a rite of passage for all Canadian...
When was the first time you smoked? That's always a fun story.
When I was 15.
You're 15?
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, I think I smoked once. I mean, I shouldn't be saying this for kids, but in Iran, when I was 12 years old, northern Iran, by the Caspian Sea, a lot of weed grows. And I remember this older kid, you know, kind of gave me some weed and then was like, ah, that's interesting.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, but really since I was 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, man, I can only imagine. And I know Iranian culture is not as like, I would say, what? Forgiving of cannabis or, you know, welcoming of the culture.
The problem, right? That's why I love Canada. I mean, we get to do what we love and, you know, freedom of thoughts and freedom of religion and living a free life. So
that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's a really cool story.
It's an amazing story.
What would you say your mission is for Canadian clinical cannabinoids?
Say that 10 times fast.
You know, if you would ask me this question 3 years ago, was a lot different than today. When we started with a whole bunch of debt and, you know, personal. Like we brought no investors. We started this from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So a few things, I think I want to make sure that, you know, I can kind of pay back all the mortgages I took and everything else to stabilize my life. But, you know, fast forward to today, you know, we have over 100 employees, a lot of dedicated staff that wear so many different hats. And that's why we even punch above our weight with the staff that we have. I want them to do better. It's the same as myself. They become family. And the only reason I'm here, because I have a great team. You know, I mean, sure, I get into a lot of different departments, but the heavy lifting now these days is with a lot of my team members that they're doing an amazing job. And when I go across the country and I come back home and I see how much they do compared to some of the counterparts, I hope I can repay them by making their lives better. And honestly, I'm not just saying this as a, you know, line. I think it's a way for success, just like our slogan. You learn this, you know, like we say, okay, hey, with love from Scarborough. Honestly, like I truly believe what we started, as long as we put the love into it, we're going to get everything we want 10 times in return.
I think you nailed it on the head with about building a team. And I think as you scale a business, or in my experience as an entrepreneur, you really like start to realize just how important that is and to kind of grow into your leadership style. And I'm sure you agree too. It must be crazy to think you probably started with how many employees and now you have over 100.
Yeah.
And you built it by yourself, like you said, and that's something to be really proud of.
You know, I also think stories like us needs to be told. We have so much bad stories coming out of, our industry.
Yeah.
When I first started, there was too many facilities. Mm. There was way too much weed being grown at a subpar quality. And we saw in the past few years, a lot of facilities shut down. So now you're starting to see a balance between, supply and demand for the first time in Canada. A lot of growers have got improved. And a lot of people like myself from BC, like people like Logan from Dunn Cannabis or Dylan from Pistol and Paris, we all have crossed over and we're putting our lives into this. I mean, we have done it and we're just continuing that. So a lot of the notion that, oh, the guys on the legal side, they don't know how to grow or the weed is not as good. Now those things are not true. You're getting the best weed in the world and also the best variety in the world from so many different companies.
I think you're totally right. And as we've kind of seen everything develop, it's so nice to see the quality just get better. And I know that you guys are all trying to do better. And aren't we all? And really, really shows, especially with the producers you just mentioned. So I totally agree with that thought.
No, and I appreciate your energy, because it certainly, there's a lot of cynicism, and you're right, like lots of negativity in the industry. And at the end of the day, there's definitely some headwinds and some challenges. We experience that, but we do it together, right?
We do it for together. Sure. Yeah, and whatever has to happen, I think for bad or good, it has to be. We have to clean up. If a facility has to close, then it has to clean itself out. And I think our industry now is coming out of that dark side, as they say. I mean, if you look at, let's say, publicly traded companies, I don't think it can go any lower. Yeah. So from here on, is only up. So
that's a good way of looking at it. Right, I think you're right.
And again, we work on the behind the scene. A lot of the colleagues I got, they work for many, many different companies, and they're working hard as anyone. And sometimes I think certain companies don't get the credit due because some CEO made a bad decision 2 years ago.
Right.
And nobody's giving the men and women that they're still there. Never mind the ones that are gone. But so anyways, just wanted to mention that.
No, that's legit. What advice would you give for those trying to, you know, find success and build something in this industry?
I think, you know, advice, I mean, I don't think of myself as anyone that, should give advice, but I'll try. I think really, you got to really know your craft. Doesn't matter what you do, especially in this industry, being so new, it leaves no room for error. Even if you know what you're doing, a lot of times it comes down to finances that maybe also is stacked against you. Never mind Health Canada and CRA and the good folks at the Canada Revenue Agency. So I really just got to really know your craft. You got to know every part of it. I think even, you know, you look at titles. I mean, I don't really believe in titles in companies. That's why we wear a lot of different hats. But the old guards, or the first generation of LPs, that, you know, the CEO or, you know, the CFO can only figure out numbers and didn't understand anything about the business, those days are long gone. There is guys, leaders in this industry like Nick from Canera, that he's a CFO, but he can talk weed better than anyone else in the industry. So you have to be a jiu-jitsu fighter, you know, never mind boxing, you know, because you're going to get into a ring with someone that, you know, knows every aspect of that business and they'll, you know, pick you apart.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head. I think all the brands and the people behind the brands that we're seeing that are having success are ones that are consumers, or at least understand consumers. And I think that is because they are experts in their field, and they do consume. And I think the days of the people in alcohol bev trying to get into cannabis are hopefully coming to an end. But hey, all good. We'll see. I guess I agree with you that, like, you know, the loud plug always kind of creates, like, we have this relationship that we can count on quality to be there. Like, what do you guys do to always ensure that quality assurance is there? And are you involved in that process?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, me and my partner, Zach, and we're especially in that aspect of it when it becomes about the product and release of products, and, you know, how we're going to imagine our future SKUs are involved in every aspect of it. We have currently four farms that we work with. And if anybody is coming in our network now that our supply chain is getting bigger, whether it's on extraction side, whether it's on the flower side, we put them through the ringer, to be honest, because we know what it means to put that flower and put a loud plug by, logo in front of it. We go through a stringent process of understanding the grower, what they're doing, what they can do with the genetics. And then beyond that, to be consistent, you could maybe hit a 30%. And you see from time to time, companies in the past where they hit a 30% or 28%, but the next batch is 22%, right? So the growers that we work with, we believe they're one of the best, if not the best, in the country in what they do. And they're super consistent, man. Like every time we see the flower, it smells the same. THC, the cure is amazing. And that's how we make our family bigger now, you know, by making sure that these team members, either we grow with them. Mm. And if there's somebody that, as I said, it's a newcomer to the team, then, you know, it's a long process at this point, you know, where we really make sure that they stay consistent throughout.
So that's an important part of the game, man, that consistency piece. And yeah, it shows. Agreed.
I think you have a great positive outlook on where we're going, at least where you're going. So it's great to forge that path. I'm definitely interested to get your thoughts on, you know, kind of where you see this going.
Well, we'll take a break.
We're going to take a break. Thanks so much to our listeners and our sponsor, Sheesh. If you like this podcast, definitely give us a shout out, share it with a friend, like and subscribe.
Please.
I do also have a great question from our listener, George, but we'll hit that back when we come back.
We'll be right back with Cyrus from Canadian Clinical Cannabinoids. Look.
Peace.
Welcome back.
We back.
Hello, hello.
We back.
One of the rare times that me and Sean aren't baked by the end of the show.
Yes, that is true. That is true, Charlie. That is a rarity.
We're at the back of the shop with Cyrus from...
The Loud Plug. Canadian Clinical Cannabinoids. Charles.
Hard for me to say. We're really happy to have you here. I did leave us off, and I want to ask this question. It's our very last rip tip. Somehow we still have them. We got the big fat one. Our boy Jorge, George.
George Kish. Shout out George Kish.
Yeah, homie. And this will, you know, we'll let everyone answer on this one. But have you noticed any trends or change in public perception regarding the union or intersection of cannabis culture and wellness practices? And how do you see those two relating in the future?
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're seeing, you know, a lot more NHP products and natural health products.
Thank you.
I think so.
And at least being more carried. I think the consumer is definitely there. Back in 2010, a friend of mine, Brad Stott, an old friend of mine, he got diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Oh, no.
And he approached me, you know, he knew I had an MMAR and he was looking for Purple Kush at the time. This man ended up spending $250,000 in his lab.
Wow.
And with a friend of his, Colin Jennison, who was a prof at the University of Ryerson, chemistry prof, they started formulating this oil. That they were talking about CBD way before Sanjay Gupta and CNN and all that. You know, we're talking about 2010. All the other information for cannabinoids and terpenes was coming out to the masses in 2012, 2013. Not that, you know, he formulated a magic pill by any means. He alkalined his body, and by alkalining his body and taking certain supplements throughout his research, again, his research with... godfather of cannabinoids, Dr. Raphael Meshulam from Israel. He worked with Manuel Guzman, who was a head of cancer research in the University of Madrid. And by doing that, he ended up actually, you know, putting his cancer in remission.
Wow.
So anyways, I have a really big history, and thus Canadian Clinical Cannabinoids. It comes from our history with Brad. So interesting that you brought it up.
I touched on the medical background, because I was going to ask that at one point, like the MMR experience. And obviously you have this deep passion for cannabis. It must be from that kind of wellness, or you've seen what it can do for people, right? And it's such a good alternative medicine too, right?
Like, for sure. Listen, as I was telling you, we were growing some of the best headbands in the city, in, you know, the, back in the day when we were growing out of Scarborough. But at the root of it, with Brad, we always dreamed of the day that we could put certain, you know, some of the Brad's formulation. Obviously, with claims and Health Canada, you got to be very careful, or you got to go through long processes of years of clinical trials that by the time we get this product on the market, which is really, a natural product, it shouldn't take 10 years. But anyways, I'm trying to say that as far as, natural health products goes, I think this industry has a lot to give to it. And I think, definitely the Loplug and CCC is going to be behind some of these innovative, maybe natural health products as well.
What do you think, Charlie?
I think there's so much about this, and I really appreciate your answer there. I think that's cool. You kind of, I don't know enough about, like, I guess the medical side of it to speak to that, but certainly like wellness and perception is changing. People are definitely more open to different types of products that are providing them some type of relief or some type of therapeutic effects. When it comes to actually selling and dealing with them, this is where I kind of have a problem, because it's very difficult in the way that we're supposed to speak to them. And even in the way it's set up, and again, I don't know enough about the medical side, it feels very disjointed. And I'll always have this, and I think we could probably agree on this, there's like this dark shadow cast from pharmaceuticals, right?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, they don't want this to succeed in the way that it is proven in a lot of instances. There's not enough research, but I think that it does have effects that really do help people a lot when it comes to wellness.
For sure. Another thing maybe I should mention is recently we brought on a brand called You Feel You.
Oh, yeah. We like You Feel You.
So interesting you said that. I think, they really needed a licensed producer that knows how to execute and just really be able to have their products on the shelves all the time, because, since they came out, they were doing really good. I think they just ran into some instances where, they couldn't fulfill the POs. Mm. But by end of May of this year, you're going to see a brand new portfolio from You Feel You is going to come out. And I can tell all the retailers that this time they're not going to run out. We're going to make sure that they're fully supported with all their SKUs, and any POs that we're going to get from Ontario is going to be fulfilled immediately.
Those seem to be, that's a really strong up and coming wellness brand. I would say You Feel You. Yeah, I think we carry their Focus Drops, which is like the CBG.
I want to try those. I haven't
CBD formulation with the cannabis derived only terpenes, I think, added for obviously a little bonus effect there. I've heard it's a very effective product and kind of fits right into that kind of consumer. So we're kind of happy to carry it. And that's cool. I didn't know they were,
Do you have anything to add to Jorge's question there, Sean?
Yeah, I think you touched on it. I think that stigma has kind of changed a little bit. And there's a huge segment that are looking to cannabis for wellness and recovery, especially like the amount of times we, even on Queen West, like so many people, like muscle, I can tell rub. They're coming from the gym. You can tell right away. I'll take the CBD beverage. I want the muscle rub, and give me some of those, gummies for later, maybe that have like a low dose THC with a nice hit of CBD as well. And I think as that people kind of know that microdosing and cannabis can kind of like just bring you a lot of benefit. And I think people are starting to realize that. And that's why I think it is fitting in more with that wellness segment. I hope that answers your question, George.
Hey, you know what? One more thing I wanted to just add to this is that, again, even good products on NHB starts with good flower.
Yeah.
Good terps, good cannabinoids. Good input, right?
Yeah.
So when I was talking to you about that headband, right? And some of our genetics, we just over the years, we perfected what we did, whether it was from the growing side and all the way to the cure and then the final products. And
no one's done a really good headband. I'd love to see you bring that cut.
If anybody is going to bring it, I think it's got to be me.
There you go. I look forward to that. I think that it's a legendary strain. And we talk about how important those nostalgic kind of strains are. And I think that'd probably do pretty well. Yeah. So I think you should look forward to it.
Sounds good.
We're definitely starting
news coming.
Yeah.
More coming. Yeah. That's right. I love it. Something in the kitchen. We're definitely starting to see kind of more of those old school strains pop up on the market. Kind of interested to know, I mean, your experience has probably been similar to many dealing with the OCS or I guess other provincial retailers or wholesalers rather. How's that been different? Like where can people find you, I guess, across the country? And what's been some of the challenges of, getting the loud plug out there?
I think, a lot of the distribution problems we used to have, it's all gone. We're a national brand now, including Yukon and and the territories. So
really, that's awesome.
The only place that we don't have a lot of SKUs right now, it's Quebec.
Okay.
We have one SKU and another one coming, but that's something that is out of our hand, and it's a political, you know, I think, issue that we're we just got to be patient.
You guys don't have an office in Quebec. I'm sure they'd give you some more, maybe soon, right? I'm sure that has something to do with it.
Right, but everywhere else, you know, across the country, we have many SKUs from BC to, you know, Newfoundland, and yeah, you can find us at any retailer across the country.
I had a thought, Cyrus. I was going to ask you. It is our fourth birthday, the first week of June, and right. We are thinking of the third technically, but the Saturday, and we have a great location. We're keeping it a secret, but it is close to the shop that is cannabis friendly, and we're wondering if the Loud Plug wants to be a part of that.
Damn, I'd love to.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. Amazing, man.
Yeah, party in downtown Toronto when the weather is good doesn't get any better than that. So
right? Love to be there. I think that'll be amazing, and you know, we'll connect with a bunch of people in the community and make sure they get to try some of your fantastic products. I think, right?
That's for sure. And you know how we sample, so yes. Be ready.
Always, always generous. Always good weed. So we're gonna have some killer weed. Stay tuned for that, and keep your calendar open for that first weekend of June. Stay tuned for more details from High Orbit.
We got 420 coming up. I know it too, probably this will air well after that, but do you have any, like, I guess, rituals? What's 420 mean to you? Is it just another day, or is it a big mark on the calendar?
Yeah, I mean, definitely is a big mark. I mean, you know, we're the ones that usually put the party or involved with a lot of retailers, right? So it's a busy time, just working 24/7 for now, but that's good. I mean, we like to be busy, to be honest, like appreciate to have this job. And
are you guys participating in anything for 420? Do you guys have like a big event, or you're going to be around, you're supporting some retailers?
Yeah, we're just like retailers, and basically we just had the big one right in Vancouver.
Awesome. So I'm just catching my breath. I forgot. You're just getting just catching my breath. You just did kind. So you're like, all right. Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned, I guess, it's always, you know, I think a lot of people answer this coy, but what do you guys got cooking up over there? Anything exciting? There's always new stuff. Like, I'm always impressed at the number of products we do see come out, at least in Ontario.
No, for sure.
So happy to see that. But anything new and exciting? Like, what's your take on innovation?
Yeah, I think our industry, every 3 months, you got to kind of recreate yourself, right? So it's like, what's next? What's next? It's like a fashion show. So every season, we try to put our best foot forward, you know, kind of really look at the products. But personally, I always want to see, like, you know, new genetics, new flavors. And then take that flavor and then bring out, let's say you want to infuse it, sure. You want to bring it in a live resin cart, like exotic gas, what we did. But we're always constantly working on, you know, hey, what's a good flavor to bring out for the Loud Plug? And then from there, you know, just kind of put it in a different format.
Keep it in motion. So, always.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. You know? Always move in, keep it simple. I like that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your partnership with You Feel You. Is there anybody else, I guess, that you're bringing into the family, so to speak, that we can look forward to in 2024?
From the Triple C, I guess, point of view, is like, you know, obviously the Loud Plug is our, you know, biggest success, you know, nationally. But recently, we brought out two more brands, which is the Turp Crusher and the Republic.
Right.
Right. And we're going to expand on those. And we're pretty busy. You know, as I said, we're lucky enough now to be able to support two shifts with the Loud Plug. A lot of times I went to such a hard time a year ago, 2 years ago, where, you know, we would be co-packing for someone, and then over a few cents, they would cut us off because obviously they want to make more margins. And we were looking forward to a day that we can be independent.
Right.
And now that we can support those two shifts and Loud Plug being 90% of that, you know, we can also come out now with some creative ideas under the Turp Crusher and the Republic. And is again, you can trust the same team that you have so far with the Loud Plug to innovate in those kind of brands as well.
How is the Turp Crushers going? I guess I'm not going to lie. That's not like probably a product that I would probably gravitate towards necessarily, but I'm just curious. Like, and those are the ones that like you pop the filter?
Turp Gush is a whole brand. So okay. Our first move was, yes, it was the poppers, right? But We have Live Resin now under Terp Gusher, you know. And other products that they're coming out specifically for Terp Gusher.
Oh, very cool. Right. I look forward to checking those out.
I think regardless, like you said, there's always products that you or me or some things don't speak to certain people, but it's still innovative. It's still
cool. That's what I was trying to say. I was just like that. I wasn't trying to shit on it. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm not trying to give Cyrus a hard time here.
You're funny, man. I'm definitely on the spot now, but no, we were kind of talking about it earlier. You having just traveled across the country and kind of highlighting the fact that some of the community might be missing out in some of these other areas,
right?
Whether it be Edmonton or not Edmonton specifically, but Alberta, let's say.
Yeah.
What do you think can help fill that gap for people, you know, across the country?
I think by connecting the dots, you know, wherever that is, whether it's Red Deer, Alberta, or, you know, Chilliwack, BC, I think wherever we can kind of connect is a good thing and network. A lot of people can get educated by just not knowing things and being able to have a source of information that you can go to that comes from the cannabis community across the nation. And I think maybe that's the evolution of just, you know, us as a community now coming closer and closer together, just like a lot of other industries or other networks, except that till now, you know, we had to hide because, you know, we would do some serious jail time if, you know, they catch us talking.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, fair.
Over cannabis.
Yeah.
What is the biggest takeaway from I guess your first product to now? What has been like your biggest like learning curve, and what was like something that didn't work and something that obviously Benny Blunto is probably like your biggest success, but like, is there anything you've learned along the way that just didn't work, I guess is what I'm saying? Yeah.
Not really, to be honest. I think the one that
I love it. No, that's
so
great.
So I'll tell you why, because like I think we got here the way we got it. And again, like in 3 years time.
Yeah.
Right. For CCC as a whole, as my team, right, to be able to say we're one of the top 10 revenue companies in Canada, for a private company out of Scarborough, man. You know, with 7,500 square feet, somebody's, you know, the team. As I said, you guys got to come there one day for a tour. And
I think you nailed it. I want to come check out your facility, dude. I didn't realize that you had that moniker of like a top 10 LP, and you're working with such a small canopy. That's really impressive, man. Yeah, that's awesome. And obviously,
underdog story. I love that.
Shout out to the whole team at the Lot Plug, and Rihanna included. She's off camera here. Shout out Rihanna. We love seeing her.
Bro. Yeah, go back and listen to our episode with her.
Awesome. If you haven't before. Yeah, and her story about being a woman in cannabis.
I've got, maybe this is a little offside, but it'll be a harder question perhaps. So you've seen this success, you know, we're facing all these challenges. How do you get to be this point where, and I could be wrong and overstepping my boundary here, but are we in the green? Like is CCC, are we there? It's a success, no, absolutely. We're there.
So, you know, CCC from day one, because everything, as I said, I put it in the company. It was profitable from the month one, January 15, 2021. And it was very small, but I would meet my demand of making, as I said, from pre-rolls till now. And it's because we're disciplined. We know what pricings work, what quality consumers are looking for across the nation. Again, it came from, 10, 12 years of experience of actually being on the other side and seeing the difference between consumers. And I think we just need, a lot of us to speak up and just kind of write the ship now and make our own stories and let go of the kind of the bad past that maybe sometimes is, haunting us. Still.
That's remarkable, dude. Even in any business to be, in that territory, day one is a feat. But like in this industry, I know a lot of our listeners know, but for those who don't,
I was in the production room myself, like closing the joints, it was maybe 13 of us, right? And just started from there, it never ran a organization this large ever. And I was learning fast and, had a good team, and I'm still learning.
I realized too, I'm a real estate agent, and I never connected the dots that you have a history in real estate as well too, don't you?
Yes, yes.
I think for like a long time, like 13 years or something like that?
Well, quite a long time, yeah.
And were you always like still involved with cannabis while you were doing that?
Yes.
There you go. That's so funny, man.
Sean's doing the same thing.
Those that know.
I got a question for you then in that relation. Did you find it was hard to, like, you had to keep it separated, your cannabis business and your real estate business? Or did you think it went hand in hand and it wasn't a big deal?
No, I mean, at the time that I was growing with MMAR, right? Still, there was a really large stigma around cannabis. Like, he just, you know, even if, let's say, at a dad soccer practice, how people would view somebody was a grower versus a, you know, engineer or something like that, you know? So it's nice to see now we finally can actually say what we do and be proud of it, funny enough, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, I just thought I'd ask you that question. And yeah, I just find sometimes you have to keep it close to the chest about...
Yeah, 100%. You know,
depending on who the client is, who you're going to share that information with.
Listen, at the end of the day, it was something that whether it was the landlords that used to gouge people like us that, you know, or there was, you know, somebody that has a vendetta against someone, they could literally ruin your life by you telling everybody what you're doing. You know, this is, you know, in a kind of a gray zone. Yeah. So by the time, actually, I'll tell you another thing. I saw retailers open.
Right.
I thought they were fucking crazy. And it's like, you know, I've had friends coming
up. The deals they were taking, you mean? Like, is that any real estate deals?
I would never even bring my neck out, you know, growing under the MMAR in a facility that had no signs.
Right.
Now you're opening up on middle of Queen Street, saying open and buy your cannabis here. So, you know, so it's a different kind of risk, but.
It's crazy, man. Right? Yeah. It is a wild world. It is awesome that we get to do it, though.
It's fine. Sorry, I'm just thinking I love diving into like financial stuff and we don't need to get too into it, but I'm very curious, especially since it was news in a sense of today, the Canadian budget was released.
Oh, okay.
There's no plan to change excise tax, reform. How big of an issue is that for, you know, Triple C, for instance? Like we hear about it all the time and a lot of complaining. And I, you know, to a degree, I understand why, but like we have some success here. We have unsuccess over here.
Right, right.
What's going on?
What's the challenge for you in the excise tax and how do you feel about it? Is there like a way that you think it would be fair to kind of put forth a solution? Have you ever thought about it?
There's a lot of people say excise is a flow through, right? It's a tax. It's not your money. So I agree to a certain degree with that. But at the end of the day, let's break down one of the most expensive ounces in the industry, which is the Lau plug.
Okay.
And we sell a lot of it.
The exotic gas.
All of them. Same price. If you look at the data on Data BI, they're all bangers, like super successful. We get $49.
Off of that sale.
Off of that sale. Everything is with us.
Damn.
All the way to palletizing and delivering it. How much are we selling that weed? Just think about it.
Crazy.
It can't be more than a dollar something.
That is crazy.
Out of the $10 that the consumer is paying. So sure, I could say, well, yeah, it's a flow through, but the consumer can't afford more than these prices anymore. We don't have, like, whether it's your cannabis, your grocery stores, you're adding another 33% to that cart, right? So... So for me, it's just as I said, it's obviously challenging, it's difficult. But again, you know, since day one, because we worked hard, and whether it was minus 40, plus 40, we worked every day and we were profitable. I always made sure that, because I knew it could be such a big handicap and literally could cripple us. We were paying, you know, $10,000 a month. Sometimes as we grew, we paid 120 and 500. And today, last month, I got my excise stamp and it was 1.7 million for March.
Wow.
Right.
Crazy.
I mean, it's a lot of sales we're doing as well. But again, to show you, person like me that doesn't have access to that money to pay you, you could cripple me. Why? The province doesn't pay me for up to 60 days, right?
60 days?
The government wants their money in 30 days, but it's the same government. And I'm dealing with just a different branch of you. So why can't you guys talk together? And you would help the industry so much if you give that cash flow back to the people that they're starting out now. Never mind the loud plug, right? There's a lot of us that are starting today. They might be able to like get a lifeline and breathe, and maybe they'd be successful.
Yeah.
Right. So definitely, I think it's something. It's so disappointing. First of all, that this happened. I actually was talking to a friend of mine a couple of days ago, and I was telling him I don't think they're going to do anything about it.
No.
And he said, "No, I think there's going to be." And I was like, "Listen, they've gotten used to this money, and at the end of the day, I think even." The good folks at Health Canada that they're working hard, or Canada Revenue Agency, the politicians are not doing enough because they're ignorant towards this industry.
Yep.
So unless, again, it's a long road, but just like legalization, we get involved in a community and your counselors and right.
Ultimately, I really think that if they change the excise tax and just gave more back to the producers, like you said, it would probably create more job security in our industry, which is something I've noticed 100%. Is like really tough. Like so many, we're losing so many great people, and I'm sure you agree too. Like 100%. I see a lot of great talent just feeling like I'm fed up with cannabis because it's all contracts.
Some of the companies are getting, you know, for example, their revenue from OCS garnished. Up to 50%, up to 100%.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, for that person that waited a few years to get that license now, just...
You're cut.
But you could fix it easily by just allowing that money, just like BC or just like Alberta does, within 15 days.
Right.
Again, you know, when you talk to OCS as well with David Lobo, he's a good guy, but, you know, he knows that he has challenges, again, with people that run the AGCO, and it's limited how much, you know, you can go back and forth because, again, on the other hand, you got a politician that is making decisions, business decisions on our industry that doesn't have
to.
He's not a subject expert to make that decision.
Yeah.
Right, and that's where the dilemma is.
Yeah, I also wish that sometimes, like, the left arm would talk to the right. Like, I feel like sometimes, like, you know, for instance, like, if the OCS talked to the board in BC, and if, like you said, a lot of the rules don't, they're all over the map. Like, even just how long things they hold on to and how long before a product expires, quote unquote. And it would just be nice, I guess, like you said, to see some more alignment across that. One's 60 days, one's net 30. Like,
right.
It doesn't really make any sense, right? So, easier said than done, I guess.
Yeah. Our industry sometimes doesn't make sense.
It's going to be a slow process. Like, I've long been in the camp that they don't really care. So, like, you know, we talk about edible limits increasing.
Right.
Nah. Talk about excise. Nah.
Nah.
It's gonna take forever.
It doesn't take forever. Just take a plane, go south, and then we live in a bubble. And sometimes I think it's like, hey, you guys have been given enough. Shut up.
Fair. Like, yeah, fair.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, I feel super blessed and grateful to even just participate. You know what I mean?
True.
We're here, you know, we have relatively success.
Stories, we're still around.
But we're going to push. We're going to keep on pushing.
Exactly, you know? Right? And we'll do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
True.
I look forward to partying with you guys in the first. I feel like we got a bunch of tricks up our sleeve. We'll kind of reveal those as we divulge and go on a little bit later.
Well, expect the loud plug to bring the heat.
Bring the heat, baby.
Where can they find you? You're on Instagram, on social?
Yeah, on Instagram, I mean, we get deleted a lot, but...
classic.
What's the current handle? At the loud plug, or is it?
I couldn't even tell you. I think it's loudplug_official.
Official. There we go. Thanks, Rihanna. It was a pleasure getting to meet you and hear the story of the loud plugs. Cyrus Hambaz, clinical Canadian cannabinoid.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for our listeners.
Season, everyone. Love you guys.
And thanks to our sponsor, Sheesh. Go out and get Matt. A tangerine dream.
That's right, Matt.
Hash soda today, and you will not regret it.
Only Matt, call me. I'm waiting for you.
22 grams of sugar only.
22?
Smoke a Benny Blunto and wash it down.
I think a banana Havana with the tangerine dream is like, that's a match made in heaven right there. Until next time, guys. Until next season.
Peace.
Take care, everyone.
Peace.
Diagnostic complete. All systems functioning normally.